Welcome to the Absurd Cinema Lounge, the podcast that quenches your thirst for cool cocktails and bizarre celluloid. So grab your bongos, your fezzes, cocktails, and listen to your hosts, Clara and Tony, as they discuss this month's cinematic epic, Creepshow. The lounge is now open.
Hello, and welcome to the premiere episode of the Absurd Cinema Lounge. I'm your host, Kara, and my co-host is...
Tony.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Excellent.
Well, good, because we're going to be talking about this week's movie.
So this is the premiere episode of our new podcast, The Absurd Cinema Lounge, where we're going to kind of do this monthly and discuss cult movies and a correlating cocktail, because that's two of our favorite things.
Yeah.
The films that we are going to be discussing are going to span across a wide range of genres. Spaghetti westerns, canon action films.
Kung fu.
Kung fu, yes. And also horror, of course. There's probably going to be a lot of horror on here because that seems like there's just an abundant amount of cult movies.
So many.
I know. It's going to be awesome. Oh, and also how about some musicals too, like Grease 2?
Oh, yes. Then we're going to definitely have something to say.
Right. We're going to have a cocktail, like I said, that's going to correlate with each movie. So it'll be interesting to...
see how drunk we get.
Yeah. So I think we should get started with a little bit of background about ourselves, just to let everybody know how and why we are doing this podcast. Let's start with you first.
Oh, okay. Movies have always played a big part growing up in our lives. Of course, we're sisters, so if nobody knows that. Now you do. Growing up with these movies and new movies, because there's plenty that I haven't seen.
Well, that's what's going to be exciting. I think, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but a lot of these movies I think you haven't seen, like that I'm going to pick, because you know that I have like a huge collection, and I've just over the years been watching crazy movies. So
let's be real, I don't have a VCR.
A VCR? Oh my gosh.
But these are special, all these movies, whether they're big budget, low budget, what genre, they all have a special memory that we can always talk about and bring up. So
right,
get us together,
right,
and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly. Exactly. So for me, of course, I am a huge horror movie fan, and I also love Japanese monster movies, so the kaiju genre as well. I'm always trying to add to my Blu-ray or DVD collection. Not my VCR collection.
You mean Beta VHS?
Laserdisc. I think since we're going to be doing cocktails on this too, I think my favorite cocktail is just a good margarita. That's I can have that anytime.
See, I'm a good rum person.
So you like some of the like tiki kind of islandy type drinks,
yes,
that we're going to have. Okay. So yeah, so we've got a lot to talk about today. So let's segue over to today's movie. So what's the movie we're going to be discussing today?
So today, in honor of the holiday, the Father's Day coming up, it is June, we've decided Creepshow from 1982. Directed by George Romero, and also, of course, written by Stephen King.
Yes, yes. And he also acted in it as well.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
How can we forget that?
And then our cocktail for today is going to be a blackberry bourbon lemonade.
Okay, so right away you got me a blackberry and lemonade. Bourbon.
Not bourbon?
I'll try it, but I don't know about this, but we'll see.
So how does this cocktail correlate to the film?
Well, if for anybody listening, if you have seen Creepshow and you've seen the first episode of the short stories. The first one's Father's Day. So in the segment of Father's Day, the character Bedelia is drinking Jim Beam and, of course, remember pouring it on her father's grave. So we wanted to make some sort of cocktail with Jim Beam that would correlate to this movie. So we'll try to think about this a little bit. So yes. I'm very, very excited because Kara is the one that found and put this together for us. So we'll see how this is going to go.
So yeah, I'm excited to try this as well. I am not, bourbon is not my choice of drink. I don't sip and drink bourbon. I don't.
No.
Cocktails, it's got to be masked a little bit. So we'll see how it is. But basically, I found this cocktail recipe on a website. It's jessicagavin.com. I will be putting links in the show notes on our social media so that you can follow along and try it yourself. Basically, it's very, very simple. You're going to make a simple syrup out of brown sugar and water. So you do a quarter cup of brown sugar and a quarter cup of water, mix it together until it dissolves. You're going to muddle the peel of a lemon. You want to make sure you get the white part.
You don't use zest or anything.
No, I mean, you can, but the peel is going to be much bigger. And when you peel the lemon, you want to make sure to not get the white part inside there. That's the pith, and that's kind of bitter, so it can change the taste of your drink.
We need to make it the best,
that's
best
right.
drink here.
That's right. So, I mean, if you do get it on your peel, you could easily just shave that part off with your knife. And then, so you're going to muddle your lemon peel and 12 mint leaves. Muddle it together. Then you're going to add 2 cups of fresh blackberries. Then you're going to add 1/4 cup of lemon juice, 4 ounces of good bourbon whiskey, which we chose Jim Beam. Then you're going to add in your simple syrup, and then you will just stir it. This is not a drink that you shake, of course, because it's got all this pulp in there. So you're just going to stir it. And then you will pour it over a glass of ice. And that's it. And then enjoy. Garnish as you'd like.
Well, let's get to making this.
I know. Let's get to making this. And announcer guy is going to let you know what the plot and the outline of tonight's movie.
Awesome. See you soon.
In this episode, your gracious hosts discuss the 1982 horror comedy film Creepshow. An anthology that is a love letter to the EC horror comics of the 1950s. The movie is a compilation of 5 terrifying chapters, which include A Tale of Strange Flora from Outer Space, a story of an evil entity released from a century-long slumber, and a very special Father's Day treat.
Okay, we are back, and we've got our cocktails here, and it's a very, very pretty, like, purple. It looks like blood, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
It looks like blood.
And these ice cubes look like eyes.
They do. They do. I have, like, this ice maker that makes round, little small, like, almost like grapes. But, yeah, okay, they look like eyes. All right.
It's so fitting.
It's fitting. So, did you try it?
I'm going to try it right now. I'm kind of scared. Because it may knock me out. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Not bad. I mean, it didn't make me tick and shake. So.
Tick and shake.
You know.
It's very mellow. The bourbon does not.
Yeah, it's not crazy. Where.
No.
Overpowered, and you could definitely taste the lemon because I was worried about that part, because obviously it's purple, it's going to be blackberries.
I know.
Very good choice. Good job.
I do taste the mint out of it. Oh, she said good job.
Yeah. Give her a little high five.
thank you.
All right, so I'm going to enjoy this. Go ahead.
All right, so we're going to discuss the film. Obviously, we have seen this movie before.
Many times.
I think that I first seen this in the 80s, back when HBO or Cinemax was like new.
Yes.
And I think that's where I first seen it. That
I mean, honestly, in 1982, I mean, did it go to theaters and then they put it on HBO, or
it
how did it work?
It did. It did go to theaters. So yeah, it did play in theaters. It was released November 10th of 1982. It was supposed to come out in July. However, Warner Brothers Studios got a hold of it and really, really liked it.
They were like, we're not giving this up.
Right. So they decided to do their own ad campaign for it. So that delayed the opening of it, the nationwide opening of it. And that, I think, actually George Romero actually liked the idea that there was a delayed opening, because he had stated I go back to old Fangoria. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, in prepping for this, I was reading old Fangoria magazines from 82. I think it was number 20 and number 18 I was reading. But there are some interviews with George Romero, and he was stating that he liked that idea because the initial cut of the film, he was not satisfied with it. So he was able to use that time to actually kind of manipulate it a little better and re-edit it. So it came out much better. But yeah, but I, you know, Greg Nicotero stated that he went to the premiere, and he said that they did a premiere in June. Before, you know, so they were doing June, and then they were supposed to open nationwide for July, but that didn't happen. So it was supposed to open October, and then it got pushed back to, yeah. But it came out. It's great.
Right.
So.
So, I mean, obviously, you had a Blu-ray when we were talking about that. Mm-hmm. Where else can we find this? Anybody, if they're looking for it?
Well, it's not like streaming on any services except for Amazon. Not free, anyway. You have to rent it from Amazon.
Well, I did see, for anybody at Comcast,
Xfinity, okay.
But you have to pay for it.
Okay, so you can rent it. Yeah,
I did have free Creepshow 2 on Tubi.
Oh yeah, I love Tubi.
Yeah, that was something else I had to, when I was gearing up for this, looking through all the different movies.
They've got a lot of great things on there. You can buy it through Amazon for like $8 or so. Yeah, so I mean, that's a really good price. The only thing is, my Blu-ray DVD, it doesn't have any extras on it.
Oh, those are the best.
I live for those.
Yeah.
So I'll have to update my copies, you know, that I have.
Library.
My library, yes.
Well, and there's nothing better. I remember, you know, 10 years old or around that age, going to the video store and picking out movies, mm-hmm. and, you know, Friday, Saturday night. And this is where a lot of these movies...
Right.
Will come from that we've seen. But so Creepshow, I do remember watching it on TV, and then eventually, of course, we rewatch them on DVDs and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely rewatchable.
Definitely. And I love that it's not, I mean, it was obviously big names, big budget, but not crazy special effects, like real.
Oh yeah, it was very simple practical effects.
Very simple.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my one question: were there Creepshow comic books, or was that after?
Like that was after.
Okay.
Now Creepshow is based on the EC comics of the 1950s, so it's like a horror comic. It was just like that, and you could still find those like collector's items, or you may even find some in like a PDF file online that somebody has uploaded. But yeah, they were like zombies and just grotesque things like that. And
kind of the story where it starts out with the kid and his family and and you know.
Yes, just like that.
Totally reminded me of like Twisted Sister videos or, you know. Just how it starts. It's like I don't know who copied who, but it's amazing.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Twisted Sister.
What are you going to do? Okay.
So, what are your favorite moments? I mean, do you have a favorite story first?
Okay. So, we have our five stories. I would rate my number one to number five. Do you want me to do that?
Go ahead.
Okay, so of course, my number one. See, it's really hard because hold your breath.
Oh, something to tide.
Something to tide you over. I always call it, and I didn't want to mistake and call it something else, but I always want to call it hold my breath. But I know it's not that.
I can hold my breath a long time.
But that one, because, you know, Ted Danson, when I was a little kid, you know, and Leslie Nielsen were the top actors. So anyway, but my favorite, I would have to say, is the Father's Day. You know, every year, Father's Day, me and Kara always rush to see who can do the Bedelia meme for on Facebook, you know, to each other. It's like,
and we do that for May Day too.
And May Day, which that Wicker Man will be another.
Yeah,
one
I know.
We'll
every
about.
Day, yeah.
But every one of those. So days. My favorite, and it's not just because it's number one, you know, in the series, you know, in the five short stories, but number one is Father's Day. It does have some characters in it too that are just memorable. But also the story is very, you know, iconic. My second is Something to Tide You Over. Third is The Crate. And we'll get into that because, you know, who doesn't love a good monster in a crate that don't, you know, there's a reason why it's locked up. Number four, okay, because we've had this discussion before, Karen and I. My number four would have to be, because the other two are just not, I mean, I watched them, but they're not like a favorite, but I have to say number four is this Geordi Ver, the meteor shit, as we like to just call, see, we have our own nicknames for stuff. I like Stephen King, so that's probably why he beat out number five was the bugging, it's bug, what is it?
They're creeping up on you.
They're creeping up on you, and I shouldn't have. Okay, I've watched this, and I call it the bug movement.
But it's all, everybody does that. It's the roach one.
Yes.
It's the crate one.
Because
it's the...
I feel like the roach one was more in his head. I don't think any of that was going on. I think he was just a crazy old jerk.
And he was imagining all this.
Yes, and, you know, but it's very pandemic, you know, ready. Because, you know, he's walking around, he's sanitizing, he's washing hands, he's flushing, you know, in a chute, the
tissues and all that. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy was ready for the pandemic before we were.
Right.
But so that's mine in order. And of course, I know you may have a different view. Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite?
My favorite, of course, is The Crate.
See, I could see why.
I love that.
Go ahead and tell me why.
Well, I just love the whole monster thing. I love,
yes, and it's a good-looking monster.
Oh, it's
kind of like a silverback with some critter teeth and.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like kind of fashioned after.
I don't know
after
how that thing fit in that crate, but whatever. I mean, it's all make-believe.
or how he went that long without eating.
Yes, and then it was like, did he just want to eat bad people? Like the first one, he was just like, "Oh God, I'm just so hungry, so let me kill this janitor." Like he's just there and stupid. You know, or, and then it was like, the time he heard Billy, just call me Billy. Maybe he was God, let me just eat her ass. Cause she was just like,
annoying
my nerves.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's The Crate, Father's Day, and Something to Tide You Over, Geordi.
Okay.
And then
I thought for you might do the creeping up on you and
no.
Before that, because I was like, that was the dumb. I don't want to say dumb. It's not dumb.
With Geordi?
Creeping up on you. And the Geordi, I feel like there's more to it than what we realize, but.
There is. So now that we kind of know our favorites, let's start with Father's Day, the first story.
This is great.
What are her favorite on? What is your favorite moment, or do you, how many? You probably have more than one.
Favorite moment would be when she's driving the car to the cemetery to see the dad, and they're telling the story, and you're getting to know, like, the characters, and that's always my favorite in the very beginning.
They're setting it up.
You know, then, so as they're telling it, and then, you know, she does her graveyard. She was great, the actress that played her. Mm-hmm. You know, who would want to walk around with one stocking and tripping all over, and, you know, and you kind of get the story about how her lover was killed and by her dad, and him just rocking back and forth, demanding that cake. You know, I would have been like killing him long before. And how they set it up, and the housekeeper helped. And but anyway, so when they cut to, it's one of those scenes where you're like, what the hell is this in this movie for? Because it really doesn't. So the newly coupled, you know, Ed Harris and then
Carrie Nye.
Yes. Are dancing to the song, and they're drinking and having a good time. And but the song, all they say is "Don't Let Go." And they're just dancing around like it is just the best, and you know, song. They're having a good time. He's doing that. You're gonna laugh at this one, okay? Listen. Doing that chicken move like from Beat It with the guy. The gobbling the neck thing. I mean, do you know what I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes, I do. I remember the video. So now,
it was
wait.
An 80s thing, I guess.
So no, I have to find that now and put it on like social media.
Yes, and put them together
on our page.
So, yeah. So everybody look for that. So, you know, they're just dancing around, having a good time, and here's the brother and the mother, like, oh, you know. So and then the colors of the like, show, and you know when something's happening because then it kind of turns cartoon-like.
Mm-hmm. The comic,
and
yeah.
Then of course, I mean, there's so many favorites. I don't think there's a bad one. You know, of course, when you know they send out the poor new family member outside to go find Bedelia, and you know he trips into the in front of the you know the grave, and
yeah.
The horrible, I don't know, I want to say, I'm going to die, let me get out of here as fast as I can, but, you know, it's a good movie, so you just have to roll with it. I mean, obviously, nobody was meant to survive.
It's just one of those moments that the audience is yelling, idiot, yeah. Get out of there.
Just go.
Right, yeah.
I mean, oh, well, if you die, you die. At least you try. You know? But then, you know, seeing Bedelia laying there next to him, and then seeing, actually, you know,
Nathan, the corpse, yeah.
The corpse, and he's, you know, manipulating that headstone.
It's like some powers. Like,
yeah, I was like, I want to know, what did happen after? Did he just die again because he got his revenge? He got his cake?
I don't know. I do know if you read the comic, the very last panel ends with, you know, I got my cake.
Yeah,
you know?
I got my own father's cake.
And so then... So Sylvia and Richard are there,
uh-huh.
And you know they're like, "Oh my God!"
And
you know, yeah. Well, at the bottom panel, the creep, he states, you know, how funny it was, haha. And Nathan blew out their candles next.
Oh.
So, but yeah, but I would like to have seen that. And yeah, but you're right. What happened afterwards?
Yeah.
I'm one of those people though. At movies, like, what happened later? Like, how did they wrap this up? How did those people who murdered those people not get caught or something? Or how they cover things up, you know?
Very good. It was very well done because these stories are only, you know, what, 20, 15 minutes long or so?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to tell your story. You got to get the audience captured into what you're trying to say and then mm-hmm. move on to the next.
Well, that's what I like about anthologies is that, you know, they're to the point, they wrap up. And if it's a bad one, you know it's going to be over soon.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or, oh, I can go to the bathroom, get me some snacks, and then I'll come back and this will be, you know, through this part.
Right.
So they wrap it up and then it's done. Okay. So I enjoyed it. I could watch it over and over again. Is that how you feel?
Yeah. I think I can.
Yeah.
It's funny.
What are your thoughts?
I do like Father's Day a lot. I mean, I find myself saying dialogue out loud.
Yes. One of those you remember certain lines from it.
Yeah.
You could say, you know.
Like when she comes, she pulls up, screeching to a halt, they say.
Yes.
You know.
And
when Sylvia yells at Cass, turn that down right now.
Right. And, you know, how she talks about, you know, the ashtray and how the housekeeper cleaned it up and put it away, and how he is sitting there rocking back and forth, just rapping that cane on that chair and yelling. And I mean, it was self-defense.
Mental cruelty.
Yes. So that was great.
Yep, that was great. So then we
move on to just the second in the how it's shown, or do you want?
Yeah, we'll just do it. We'll just do that. Yeah. So
number two.
Oh, I say a quality kill in Father's Day was the head twisting.
Oh yes.
Because that's a rating. Yes. We're not really rating movies, but we're going through with quality kills.
And it was very fresh. Like he just did it. Put and let's talk about his artistic talent. That head with some candles and, you know, some frosting on one side, and her hair was perfectly arranged and ready to, you know, eat up. And I will say, so whenever we, it doesn't matter what holiday, it doesn't matter what's going on, and if we have cake, there's two lines, two different movies that we always say. One is this one, where's my cake, Bedelia, you bitch? And then the other one would hopefully be able, it's going to have to be talked about, is Rabid Grannies. In another time. But so there's two different, and I'll save that line for that one because that was a great one.
Right.
If anybody's familiar with it, you probably definitely know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Rabid Grannies, yes.
See, this is going to be so cool because we have so many things to talk about.
I know.
So the quality kill was awesome in that one. Of course, getting, you know, smashed by a headstone. That's always a good one. But we didn't really see anything.
And same when the Nathan corpse got Bedelia, that was just kind of a chokey thing. It wasn't really. Yeah.
That was kind of like, oh, that's all? Shove that bottle down her throat or something?
Jason Voorhees style killing. So then we move on to Jordy.
He was number two, right? As soon as I forget.
Yeah, Lonesome Tale of Jordy Verrill, number two.
Okay, so.
Solely acted with just Stephen King, and then, of course.
Just a little side stories that, like memories or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who that was.
His name was Bingo, the guy who played like his dad and like
the doctor.
Yeah, and all that stuff. His name was Bingo. Now, this I know it's not everybody's favorite, but it is based on one of Stephen King's short stories called Weeds.
Okay.
I think the story is so much better. It's more in depth what's going on. The differences with the story and the movie part is so the weeds attack him and they grow out of his eye first.
Oh.
And it's like, yeah, it's very graphic. It's coming out of his eye. He can't see out of it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not cool.
So then the difference between as the weeds start taking over, they kind of start getting into his brain and they talk to him telepathically. The weeds like can speak, you know, telepathically.
And they still were like from a meteor.
Yes. So it's actually a sentient being. It's, you know,
okay.
It's a living parasite type thing. And of course they crave water and moisture. So that's why, you know, oh my gosh, it's raining. Oh my gosh, don't go in the bathtub. You know, things like that. That's all still part of the story. But in the end, you know, when Jordy shoots himself
I guess is a quality kill, but
yeah,
I mean, it's a sad kill.
It's like shooting a leaf pile.
Poor thing. He looked like the Grinch actually laying there.
He did look like the Grinch. He did.
And it was so sad because, you know, was he in the short story, was he supposed to be mentally not
like he was like a simpleton type person.
Like he just seemed like he was a little boy.
Yes.
Or a young boy.
He was in the book. So what I find interesting is that the story, Stephen King wrote it, but then he's acting the character. So he would know best, you know,
right,
how that character should be.
And, you know, when he gets to the meteor and he's like thinking like, oh my God, I can pay off that loan to the bank. So I get that would be, but then, you know, just how it all went about, it's like,
yeah. But getting back to what I was saying about him shooting himself, so he couldn't reach the gun properly because, you know, with a shotgun, it's hard to shoot yourself in
the
head.
Those weeds did it?
The weeds helped him because he was telling the weeds mentally, it's good Jordy food. And they would say, oh, it's Jordy food.
Oh, and so he had to.
So, yeah, he goes into detail about how the weeds curled around the gun and, you know, pulled the trigger.
And then they were kind of pissed off because they couldn't.
I don't know. But they do talk about, oh, now they're going to go to town and...
Right, because then at the end of it, the weeds start to...
And then it was going to rain. So, yeah. And that's how it ends, just like it did in the
story. And yeah, I guess it's more of a thinking kind of, you know, story. There's more to it. It's not like where a horror...
It's not dumbed down with a monster.
Yeah,
enough.
I'm
yeah.
just going to cut your head off and, you know, go move on.
Right.
You know why this character's, like, in... Father's Day, the character came back because DeRong, you know.
Exactly. That's what all of these, and most like anthology stories are like that. Like there's always this one person that's getting his comeuppance.
So I'm glad he's my number four and not my number five.
Right.
But Stephen King, was pretty awesome to see him in that because that is also.
I think, he did really good playing that, you know.
And so.
The third one. Something to tide you over.
Yes.
I do like this one, rewatching it. Leslie Nielsen is so funny in this, you know, and supposedly speaking how funny he is, because we know that he was on, like, you know, all those funny police stories and
Naked Gun.
99
and a third.
Yeah. But I guess he carried around a fart machine. And right before George Romero would say action, he would like turn it on and everybody would start cracking up. When I was younger, I did not like this one at all.
Really?
I just was like, oh, get to the monster stuff. Like, get to the killing.
No, like the end? Is that where? Because they were like monsters.
Right. And then the end is the only thing that I like. But watching it again as an adult, I always feel like when I was younger, I felt like this was a longer segment.
First he has to catch him and then he gets him to get in the hole and then
I thought that he was back and forth to the beach like three or four times.
Huge STV and these cables and wires and
right. But I do like it now more.
Yeah.
I really paid attention this time around to when they come back and it's Ted Danson and Galen Ross, I think her name is, the Becky character, when they're all in their like zombie type of makeup and what they're saying to him, you know, it won't take, we got to see you come to the beach. And for some reason, I thought I seen Ted Danson smile during these.
Maybe he did.
Yeah. But I thought it was
funny. A famous quote, my favorite. So after Leslie Nielsen, you know, confronts him and tells him to, you know, hey, I'm gonna bring you to her, and they go to the beach and they're walking right before they get to the hole and he says, oh, it's her knight in shining corduroy. Like
his corduroy was big back
then. That's like, oh my God, he's probably wearing corduroy pants.
He probably was.
So another thing I thought was just goofy and just funny, and this is just because of the things that we see in these movies, and I think it's also because when you know something's going to happen, you try to rationalize and you just try to make fun of stuff, or in your head you're like, oh, look at that, or look at this, you know, especially when you're a young kid watching this.
Oh, yeah.
So he takes a drink, you know, and this is after he sees that he thinks the tide, you know, pulled them out and they're nowhere to be found, their bodies. And so He goes back home, and with his guilty conscience, which could be just maybe they didn't come back. Maybe it was in his head. I mean, we really don't know.
He buried himself?
Well, maybe. No. But, you know, or maybe, yeah, they were ghosts. So he goes and he's getting ready to take a shower, you know, and he's all like, you know, who's there? And then he's drying himself off.
I remember watching that scene and I thought, when he was drying himself off, I thought, is he even wet? Like, he's right. Just playing around. But I don't know. That's just me and my stupid thought processes right. During movies.
But it was good. And the whole concept, basically, you know, a cheating wife and her paramour, you know, get caught from her crazy husband, and who actually does them in. But they, you know, like he tells them in the video, I'm coming to get you. You know, I'm getting you, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and how he had sadly watched what happened to
Becky.
As right before the, of course, you know, this old school TV and everything gets fried. So that was good. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and what I think is kind of cool, still going back to practical effects, they actually filmed Ted Danson's head inside of like a tank.
Yeah. And because at the, they showed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was actually inside a tank and they would have to give him a respirator, you know, a diving respirator to breathe in during the takes.
Wow.
So,
and, you know, I can hold my breath for a long time. You know, it makes you think too, like, what could you do? Could you do that? I think that it makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they actually show his head, and then with the special lighting, how they do like comic book, and then, you know.
Which I thought that was cool. The light up behind, you know.
Then he had a little bit of hair. Like, it wouldn't look good if he was bald. Yeah.
It adds dimension.
A little seaweed action.
Now it's my favorite one.
I'll let you talk about it first. Go right ahead.
The crate, of course, the crate. I love it. We know.
Starring.
Well, starring, of course, Hal Holbrook.
Who totally looks like he was the model character for Fred from Scooby-Doo.
I don't know why you say that.
Okay, she's going to put the pictures up and you guys are going to have to decide to. I say that because he has that hairdo and it's like longer. Put a little ascot on him. I mean, he is a total Fred from Fred. He's a total Fred.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But not only that, is Fred, sorry, Hal Holbrook, just passed away this year, 21, you know, January of 2021.
Yeah.
At 95.
Wow.
As I say, he's taking it old school.
He's in a lot of movies and, you know, way back when. One of the movies that we probably will cover is another horror movie called Girls' Night Out.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be a good one.
Yes. And so, yeah, we'll have to
see. Another one I haven't seen. But, I mean, I've seen a lot, mm-hmm. but not as much as her.
Yeah. So, yeah, Hal Holbrook played Henry. Fritz Weaver, who is another awesome, awesome actor, which we lost to not too long ago. He played Dexter. And Fritz Weaver, if you remember, was the professor in my favorite Tales from the Dark Side episode, Inside the Closet.
I think he looked familiar. Yes.
Remember?
George's dad. Oh, that's going to be another one we have to talk about.
Oh, yeah. George, when we say George, that's who we called the little Lizzie monster, Tom Savini's little Lizzie monster, Inside the Closet. We called him George. I don't know why. Well,
didn't
back then
we call him George?
No, it's Lizzie.
Oh, well, how the hell did we come up with George? Okay.
We didn't know that he called it Lizzie. That was what we called back in the 80s.
So
you
any
know?
Little closets and old houses that we've seen, we'd be like, oh my God, it has a George.
And
closet.
We did have closets like that. Remember?
Yes.
And two. One was in your bedroom.
Oh, scary. I tried to put like the dresser in front of it.
Oh my God. We're good. We are going to definitely have to cover that one. But yeah, Fritz Weaver was in that. He was also in Jaws of Satan, which is another cult movie we'll have to cover. And it's basically about a king cobra snake that's actually the devil.
Aren't they the devil anyway?
So yeah, we'll have to cover that one too. And then of course, Adrienne Barbeau.
Yes.
She's so awesome. Her. She was excellent in this. I hated her so bad in this.
She was good at making you hate her.
I know.
She treated poor Henry.
She was an ass.
Yes. I just couldn't imagine cut and then her going back to who she really is. And and they're just oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was in a lot of cult movies, of course, The Fog.
Yes. That's
Escape from New York. Swamp Thing.
Oh yeah,
but she was married to John Carpenter at the time this was filming. So,
something else interesting is Hal Holbrook was married to Dixie Carter too.
Really?
For many years. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. See, I guess I got one up on you.
You brought something to the table. So I do love this one. In reading the old issues of the old back issues of Fangoria magazine, they were actually going to film an underwater scene.
Oh, because at the end it busts out.
Right. Okay. But they didn't, and because there was concerns about how they were going to do it with the puppet and everything like that. The puppet or the creature was named Fluffy. I don't know if I ever told you that.
No.
By Tom Savini. Yeah.
Called Fluffy. Fluffy.
So I always call Fluffy Monster or the Fluffy Creature. And of course, I'm getting into all my trivia for this because I just love talking about this one. And I also read that the teeth were molded from gorilla fangs.
So all of those real teeth.
All those teeth were, yeah.
Oh, it had a critter teeth mouth.
Yeah,
that's
he did.
What I called it.
Huge, huge. And then one last thing about the biting or the attack head.
Uh-huh.
I think it was purchased by Greg Nicotero or somebody gave it to him or he had it or something, but they took it somewhere and had it restored. And you can actually see that online. There's a YouTube video that they restored it. Cause when they first got it, the face was all crumbled. All you seen was those just teeth, the nasty teeth with it, kind of the puppetry stuff behind it and everything, but they actually restored it. So it's on, I have it listed here. Oh yeah, Tom Spina Designs or Spina, it's S-P-I-N-A. So he has his own website, and they also redid the creep from Creepshow that was the looking in the window and things like that. So they have that, those two.
Wait. Looking in the window, are you talking about?
Remember the creep in the beginning with the little boy?
Okay, that's why
the opening.
Like a Halloween thing, yes. Skeleton in the window. I was like.
That was actually made with a real skeleton.
Oh, why? With all this fake stuff running around?
Well, we're talking 1982, where you could get skeletons from India.
Oh.
Yeah.
From India?
Yeah. So we're way off topic.
Okay. Anyway, so if you needed to know that, we got that.
We'll just babble on.
But what stood out in this episode?
Well, I just love the design of the monster. I love the suspense of it. There's something in the box. Oh, well, let's see what's in the box. Curious. I would be curious.
Don't be open on any boxes.
Well, now we know. Now we know. But heck, I would go in there. Oh, maybe there are some books in there. National Geographic books or some old things. Right. I like history. This is from 1834.
Yeah, it is in a crate in a college under the stairs.
You wouldn't think anyone's living in there.
Right.
But then when they start saying something shifted in there.
That's when I've been like, okay.
And then you hear noises and I'm like, what the heck? So yeah, that whole suspense of it. I thought Fritz Weaver losing his shit he did so well. He lost his mind there for a minute.
How? And then he kind of got it back a little bit when he saw the guy in the hallway.
Yeah.
And telling him what happened. And then he went in there and he was just kind of
grabbing the shoe at the end after he got his.
And then just went to help that guy and he was actually gonna get out and then the monster got the side of his head.
That's a quality kill.
Yes.
Where he bites the side of his face.
Yeah.
That was
the
good.
Skin just kinda...
Uh-huh. So good. So good.
But we can go on forever. So
But what's the best is Henry's setup to get Wilma there.
And that was very okay, first of all, I'm laughing because this note was like a post-it size, and he supposedly wrote this huge letter to her about coming and how, you know, he was a philanderer, you know, with the little, with the young college co-eds mm-hmm. and the friend Dexter, and to get him in there. And but it was like the setup and knowing she would come there, and then, oh, she's crouched down and in a little ball under the stairs, and how, you know,
she go just, get her, Wilma, you yeah. can help her.
Yeah, yeah.
Get in there with the crate. That's what he wanted so bad. I was like, and I'm cheering for her too, to get in the get in
yes.
there.
And what's crazy is, so the whole time he's banging her against it like he's gonna kill her, you know, and nothing comes out. That's the other suspense part. Uh-huh. So you're like, okay, maybe it's not gonna happen, and maybe the thing is gone, maybe the thing left, you know, crawled away,
or, well, we know it because we've seen it, but he doesn't know that maybe his friend Dex was lost his mind or something,
right?
So he's gone through this elaborate thing because he believes his friend,
he believed him, right? So he's like thinking, okay, and then they just start, you know, she said, Henry, you're so like, you're a loser, you know. And so she's getting ready to walk, you know, crawl away or get up, and that's bam,
right,
her fate.
But did you notice, like, he when Fluffy, we'll call him Fluffy, grabbed her, he looked at Henry and was like, all right, go now, you're done, or whatever,
kind of like, this is what you want me to do.
Exactly. So
that's what I always thought, maybe, just maybe, that it was kind of like a father son, you know, or kind of like a relationship. Like he was like, okay, I'm going to do this for you, you know, and look, you're looking out for me now. Like you're going to maybe bring me food or.
It was something. Yeah. I don't know. Cause he didn't break apart that crate when he was moving him to the quarry.
And that's what I thought was funny. So go picture at the end, you know, it was like, well, hi. So Wilma gets killed. He goes and meets Dexter. They're talking, you know, he's telling him what he did. He's like enjoying the new bachelor life, you know, having a good time in his house without even the nagging wife. And, you know, he's like, well, nobody's ever, you know, it's gone. It chained it up real good. And, you know, threw it in the lake, which you think would be a good, you know.
Well, how could it drown if it lived that long without food?
Right. So there's something else with this creature that we don't know about.
It's got gills underneath its fur. I don't know.
And when it goes and it just busts out of that crate. And I was like, so why didn't you bust out of that crate before?
It wasn't in water. I don't know.
Maybe, just maybe they were setting it up to be like, that could have its own movie. That's what I was thinking.
You could, yeah.
Oh, the aquatic Fluffy.
Or something. I don't know. He gets out and he goes finds him, you know.
Yeah, that would have been like, okay, I'm ready to see this. And then I thought, well, would anybody else care about that?
Yeah, if you guys have a thought about you would like to see a full Fluffy movie of what he's doing now, let us know.
Maybe he's like the Loch Ness Monster, or maybe he's the Bigfoot. I mean, but, you know, trying to... Or the Beast of Brer Road.
Oh, it could go on and on. Well, I know the new Creepshow episodes. I think they're at, what, season 3 now? I've lost track.
I honestly haven't really watched them.
You haven't?
No. And that's just because, like, sometimes I feel like they may ruin it for the...
Yeah, I know. You get hesitant.
Memories, you know, of being a kid scared.
Yeah. But I thought they were going to do there was talk of it doing, like, a prequel. Like... Mm-hmm. How they got Fluffy in the crate and shipped it, you know.
Right. Well, and who's was the... Okay, so that's something else I was wondering, and maybe you know more about. Who was the chick on the crate, the name?
Oh, it was like Jennifer or Jessica Carpenter.
Yeah, so why didn't he get shipped there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to know, dang it.
I know. Was it from
maybe her? They talked about it and I didn't hear that part.
I don't know. I'm going to check that out. I'm going to
And then we will have to report back on.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Inquiring minds want to
That's
know.
Right.
Maybe everybody knows but me.
So yeah, that is the Crate. That's my favorite one.
Quality kills. There were a few
The
quality kills.
bite, because you've seen that really good.
Well, in the beginning, that first guy, how his arm was just
Oh,
there.
Mike the janitor,
Yeah,
yeah.
the janitor, his arm's just in there, and how it lifts him into the crate, which it like made this crate to be like it was a small loft apartment because
A small
because it's it looked like a tiny crate,
It
and then he
did.
was able to lift that whole man's body in there with that.
I know. We're just like what did Dexter say? How much can it eat? And
Yes.
where does it eat the bones and everything? Like, I don't understand.
Spits out the shoes, I guess.
I don't know.
See, all these things that make you talk about
I
this
know.
monster.
I know. But also, I just had a thought in my head, and it's like, woo, went away. We were just talking about the Mike Janner. I did feel bad about Mike Janner because I thought he was a very good character. But
And he's just doing what he's
I
told.
know. And speaking of quality kills, what about Henry's
Oh, that was
fantasizing about
great.
shooting Wilma? I love
That
that.
was, oh, first he's gonna shoot her, and everybody's like
Like,
clapping because you know, all these people were like, she's the
good
crazy.
shot, bullseye.
Yeah. And then when he chokes her with a tie, that
Yeah.
was good.
You know it's time to divorce when you start fantasizing
Yes, very clear fantasies of killing your wife or husband is not good.
Exactly. So we'll move on to the last one, which is They're Creeping Up on You, which is another like soul acting, or
Yes.
it's only one character basically. I mean, Geordie Verrill
Well, we
had the
did see. Yeah, I guess it
Oh,
is one character, but we did see the janitor looking through the
yeah, the
peephole.
maintenance man. Yeah, we did
Yeah.
see him.
Oh, maintenance man.
But
And why were these roaches like 10 inches long? I mean, they were like huge.
because they want something to creep people out with, you know.
That's
It's not in
true.
your
You can't
normal
have real
household.
roaches. And that's where it brings it back to maybe this was all in his head. He was so afraid of these bugs.
Yeah,
And
I
how he's like blending the food up and okay, so we should talk about
Gross.
what's this one about to begin with.
So we have Mr. Upson Pratt, and he's this millionaire guy because he even tells everybody he's a multi-millionaire guy, doing deals all the time, lives alone, obviously, because who'd want to live with him? And he's just nasty to everybody. And calls the guy who's in Disney World, or
Yeah.
you want to keep your job. Yeah. Total jerk. But
He's a
yeah,
total Ebenezer Scrooge.
he is, yes. And he is obsessed with all of these bugs. He thinks that there's bugs everywhere. That's why we both question, like, was he really seeing these? I seen him hit one and smash it, and he looked at his glove, and his glove was still clean.
Right.
So I'm wondering, and I never thought about that before. I just thought he hated the bugs so much, and the bugs were like, we're going to get you back. You
Oh,
know?
so it was the other way around. Like you're thinking like bugs were.
That's my initial thought growing up and seeing these, you know.
Yeah.
But then as I watch, I'm like, I wonder if this guy's just like, he's got this mental phobia
Yes.
of these things, and he's seeing them. He want because he lives in this like
It's very
airtight,
sterile.
sterile, you know,
I was thinking
thing.
the Raisin Bran. Because how it was open, I'm like, why would he have it open if he was so worried about these bugs?
I
But then
don't
how
know.
would they just like got shaken all over the
Yep.
spilled all over the counter? He didn't
And then
pick it
when,
up right away.
but then when you seen it later, wasn't it? They weren't on the, it wasn't spilled at
Right, it
all.
wasn't dirty.
That's when I was like, he's imagining
I don't know
this.
what the hell he was making, blending it up in that blender.
Some weird, nasty.
Yeah, hell, I can't even say it's health food. So, was that okay? So then the bugs come, he's yelling, you know, at
He's
people.
got to
People's
get.
committed suicide because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
The wife of the guy that committed suicide
Calling
calls
him,
and, you know, tells him off. And
harassing him.
so he keeps thinking these bugs are still, you know, kill, you know, around. I don't want to say killing him, but you know, he's killing bugs. Well, then all of a sudden, there's like millions and gazillions of them.
Yes.
So, and he goes, is that was his bedroom
Yeah.
with that separate
It was
area?
like, when I seen that, I thought about like the Michael Jackson like oxygen chamber. Like he's
Okay.
in there, it's like sealed.
And he's demanding them to bring in the pest control.
Yes.
So he goes in there and they're all hit the, like you see the bed moving and he pulls back the covers
and they're all in there
and they're in there. So then it shuts and there's like waist deep of them and they're coming out of him and everything. What is that about?
See, that's where I'm confused. Like, if this was all in his head, then we wouldn't have seen that. So I, you know, I don't know if they threw that in there just for shock value.
Or maybe everybody hated him, even the bugs.
Something. I don't know.
But it's entertainment.
It's entertainment.
And I won't say I hate that episode, but I think there's not a lot of substance to it. You know, it's very clean and, you know, white and very you know, sterile.
Yes.
And the guy is a jerk and he got his at the end.
That's right.
I guess that's the theme of all these movies.
That's right. And they actually used, I mean, real roaches. Like,
what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those were all real. They had a gentleman by the name of Ray Mendez. He was the insect wrangler. So he actually went to like roach farms. They had these roach, I don't know if they still do this, just as gross, disgusting to me, but roach farms that they raised these roaches for universities and things to do experiments on and dissect and things.
Kind of like a body farm.
Yeah. So, but
somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, there were like 16, 17,000 from just the farms. So that, I think they said, he said it was like 1,000 pounds of roaches just from those places. Then they went over to like Trinidad and got the real big ones.
Oh.
And they had to go in caves, like bat caves where there was like digging through bat guano to get them. And they were like feasting on dead animals. Oh, it's just,
okay,
you must love your job.
Okay, for 20 seconds on a movie screen.
Yeah, I don't know. And then I also, that some of them were like nuts and raisins or something just to kind of as filler. Yeah, but yeah, they were all roaches. And they the only way that they could bring them into the United States from Trinidad was to, they had to guarantee that they were going to be destroyed. That's how can you guarantee that? I'm sure one got away.
Yeah, just how one. Do you, I mean, what did they have? Like, we need 50. And so,
yeah, I don't mean, know.
We have accounted all 50 and we killed them. Did they have babies?
Well,
okay, we're setting up another movie. Okay.
But I also feel like if you're acting and you've got roaches crawling on you, that's genuine. I don't think you're acting. I wouldn't be acting. I would be literally like, you know, freaking out. But
I mean, obviously him when he was dead laying in that bed, that was not him, you know. But, so, and what did he die of?
Maybe he died of a heart attack. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it's your worst fear.
Unless the roaches really did come to claim him. I don't know. It's up to speculation, but.
I guess it's something to talk about.
Yeah.
All right.
But a little trivia on that.
I guess he's the quality kill because he didn't really kill anything.
No, like the bugs, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't kill the bugs. The bugs killed him.
Yeah. Just I think that the roaches breaking out of his body was like a shock thing. So I guess that's considered a quality.
I guess when I was a kid, I used to think, or my thought was, do roaches eat people?
If you're not moving around, they will. But, but yeah, I do like E.G. Marshall in that.
Did he play in anything else?
Oh, yes, he did.
I mean, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, he was actually juror number 4 in the 12 Angry Men.
Oh.
You know, that old, like, courtroom. And most people probably won't know this, but I listen to, like, old radio horror. And he actually hosted CBS Mystery Radio Show. Okay. From 74 to 82.
He seemed a little kooky.
Yeah. So there are, and that, and you can get, if anybody's interested in that, they can actually, you know, find those online. Just old horror radio shows. They're really interesting, you know. You don't see it, but so they have to go, oh, what's that? It is a monster. Oh, you know, yeah. it's good though. So a lot of them are really well produced and so, and the when I was speaking about Ray Mendez, he was the insect wrangler. He actually constructed the egg for the alien poster, the original alien poster.
Really?
And
Wasn't
he,
wrangling up any aliens.
no, he wasn't wrangling no aliens. But he also designed and constructed the, because he was also like a naturalist. He worked for like the Natural History Museum as well back then. And he constructed the snake. There's a movie from, I think it came out in 83, I think it is, but it was called Spasms. The original title was Death Bite. So it's like this big giant snake.
How to get
It's, I
spasms
don't
out
know.
of
I
snakes.
don't know. But it has Oliver Reed in it. And so it's about this whole snake cult thing.
Don't make me watch any movies on snakes.
Oh, there will be some snake movies. There will be some snake movies.
So, of course, would we recommend it? Well, we wouldn't be talking about this if we wouldn't recommend it.
Of course. Yes.
It's surprisingly, so many different people I think would enjoy this. There are five, well, six, including the boy, because at the very end.
And also, there was supposed to be a sixth one,
Really?
The Cat from Hell.
Oh, now see, I would have liked that
But
one.
do you, the Cat from Hell was in the Tales from the Dark Side movie.
Yes.
So see, they just put it in something else because it's all the same type of, I want to
Short
say,
stories, right?
family that made these things.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side was also Romero and Laurel,
Right.
distributing and all of that.
And not only, I mean, a lot of actors got their first start or come up and coming actors.
Right. Yeah, Ed Harris, he was actually in Knight Riders. That's a movie with Tom Savini in it. It's another one of that whole like group made all these films together.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Just
he was in
hanging
that.
out, having
I
fun.
know, right? They know each other.
So, yeah, so check this movie out. So, and how did the drink go down? Because yours is gone. Mine, there's just a little bit. And I think she had hers gone. Like,
I was ready to pour me another one.
yes, she's going to start licking the container.
So if you do make this recipe, I didn't mention it. The recipe does say it on there, but it makes four cocktails. So mine would have been a double because it went down so easy. For me, it did. I don't know what you think.
The ice made it better because it, after a while it did melt. I'm not saying it's not bad, not good or
Too
anything.
bourbony.
See, that's the thing. You want to have some of that bourbon because you want the little buzz. You don't want to don't want it to taste all fruit, but it was good. Definitely I would drink another.
I could think if you are not someone who drinks cocktails a lot,
Right.
you probably would think this is a little strong. Your palate's not used to it,
Right. I do like the mint. I do like the blackberries, obviously. The lemons, like I said, I'm very into the, like, it's summer, so blackberry, lemon, blueberry, berries, all those things are something I love. But it does resemble blood, which it looks great.
So we could have it for Halloween.
Right. And I'm not running out and to drink more bourbon, but get a my own flask of bourbon like
Well,
Bedelia
there's still some left, so I don't know if you're interested in having another one.
Might as well, it's already made up, so I guess I should drink it. And it gave me a little feeling good, and we enjoyed it.
We did. So I really hope that, this is our first podcast. And I think as time goes on, as we begin to learn, maybe even get some feedback from everyone, things will become better. Production will get better. Maybe, I mean, I felt
Okay,
comfortable
so
speaking to
this is
you.
why we have to say subscribe.
That's right. We have to
I
subscribe to our little humble show.
mean, if you know us in person, which I'm sure this first podcast is going to be a lot of people we know listening, love our banter, back and forth and our, our comments and things like that. So definitely we were learning to feed, kind of do this a little bit more. So the best part of the show, I say one of the best parts, because obviously the cocktail is number one in the movie. But so now is the time. that we will set up the next movie. So I'm kind of nervous.
We don't know what the next movie is yet.
I have a bowl here with just a bunch of movies in it and, you know, and little pieces of paper, actual like old school, like bingo here. Or no,
I don't even know what that's called.
I was thinking totally.
You close your eyes and pick a letter out of a hat or, you know, a number out of a hat. But so we've got some here.
I'm nervous because I'm sure Kara's, as you're going to find out, Kara's seen a lot more movies than me and owns a lot of movies. Like, I'm more like, if it's not on Netflix or on something I could just click and watch, you know, instead of, you know, honestly, to bust out this creep show movie to watch, I got up my son's Xbox and hooked it up. So things are going to be changing.
Things are going to change. Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to, yeah, we're going to be spending our summer watching all the
reason,
movies.
The reason why that I know about all kinds of movies is because I spent years and years on the hunt for these, you know, oh, you got to watch this movie. It's so bloody and crazy, or this is so silly, or, you know, of course I had to go. So I've been doing this for years. So
I'm shaking right now and I'm going to pull one out.
Next movie.
Our next movie. I know everybody's so excited. Drum roll, please.
I don't have a drum roll yet.
Okay, this is going to be good.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh. 1985's The Last Dragon. And The Cocktail, which I'm so excited because I've actually seen this movie. And you guys are going to die when you hear how I've seen this movie in their next episode. So you have to listen. But the cocktail to go along with this movie is the Yellow Glow Cocktail, which maybe I might be making. Mm. So we'll see how that goes here.
Show enough.
That's awesome.
That's gonna, I can't wait. We're gonna just have a blast.
What's funny is all these movies in here, and we picked that one, and we've always, it's gonna be amazing. Okay, July is gonna be lit.
It is. It's gonna be awesome. So as we are closing our show today, I want to remind everybody to please subscribe to us.
Please, because this is so awesome.
It's so much fun. I would like to get to know everyone who's listening. You can send us an email.
We want to have guests. Like, we have big plans. So, you know, we already have some people that have already talked about it, but it would definitely be, the sky's the limit.
Yes. So like I was saying, just, you know, if you want to send us an email, it's theabsurdcinemalounge@gmail.com. You can send us your input or ideas for movies that we should cover, or a cocktail, or maybe a pair, a movie and a cocktail, and we will put your name in our little hat, so to speak, and we will call you out if we pick your name. We're going to call you out. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We will be posting, and that's going to be Absurd Cinema Lounge.
Because it's just so absurd.
A lot of these movies are absurd. So please, please join us next time.
Oh, I'm just so excited for The Last Dragon. This is going to be great.
Okay. She's almost crying. She's so excited.
Maybe it's the bourbon.
Right. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Subscribe
and like us.
Thanks for spending time with us.
Thanks. See you later.
You have been listening to the Absurd Cinema Lounge with your hosts, Kara and Tony. Be sure to subscribe to the show. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Absurd Cinema Lounge. You can also contact the show by email at absurdcinemalounge@gmail.com. The music for the show was provided by Les Baxter and his orchestra, with Saturday Night on Saturday, and Don't Let Go by Unit 8. I'm Announcer Guy, wishing you all a pleasant Father's Day, and remember to enjoy your kids.